people often go into mourning for their old job. I mean, it's almost like a grief of a certain sort. You lose your identity of who you've been.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Ann Nelson, your host for today's show. So when you get to 50 plus or 60 plus, and you have an opportunity to transition to a new career, do you use this time to take up an encore job? And if you don't know what I mean, I've got just the person who can explain it all to us. Would you like to make a difference in the world? Now's your chance. Kerry Hannon is joining us again. Kerry is all about empowering yourself to do more with your career and personal finances. Kerry is an author and she has spent 2 decades covering all aspects of career, business and personal finances as a columnist, editor and writer for the nation's leading media companies in the US, including the New York Times, Forbes, Money, US News, World Report, and USA Today. Kerry has appeared as a career and financial expert on the Dr. Phil Show. So welcome to the show, Kerry.
Terrific to be here, Anne. Thanks for the invitation.
So you mentioned before an encore. So can you please tell us the difference between an encore and a second career?
Of course. And now this is, I must say, is a bit of my own interpretation of this. But when I think of an encore career for somebody who's 50 plus or 60 plus, and again, as I said, you could have another easily 15 years to do something. I think of someone who does an encore as someone who makes a move into doing work that makes a difference in the world, that's for a nonprofit, that's giving back in a way with your talents. And it can be, you know, for pay clearly or not. It can be even volunteering. But it is an encore career where you shift to working from a for-profit operation to a nonprofit and giving back to kind of the world around us. And that, to me, a second career or, you know, to me, that's more like saying, hey, you know, I was a professor, and now I want to become a chocolatier, you know, someone who really shifts to a new direction. That's something that I think one woman I profiled here in my book, What's Next, she was a police officer in California, California Highway Patrol, and she shifted to becoming a Nashville music agent. I mean, these are big, big shifts. So it's not necessarily you need to make or going from IBM technology to being a teacher. Big changes. But so that's what I often see second careers is, let me move over here. I've been an investment banker. Now I'm going to open an Italian restaurant. But the encore career is really maybe shifting to either starting your own small nonprofit or joining an organization that really resonates with you, whose mission you can wear on your sleeve, so to speak. I mean, that your heart is really in it. Those are the things I think of. And there's a great organization that called Encore.org that's based in San Francisco. They have a wonderful website. And I encourage any of your viewers to check them out because they have these inspiring stories of individuals who have made these kind of transitions to work with purpose. And right now they're doing a big grassroots effort for, you know, people sort of in these bonus years, this part of their career, giving back to at-risk children, generations to generations, you know, giving of your skills to someone who's coming up behind us. As Mark Friedman, who is the founder of that organization, likes to say, you know, we're not looking for the fountain of youth. We're looking at the fountain with youth. So it's a way that, you know, we really keep ourselves alive and part of things by giving back to the younger generation.
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head before when you said find our purpose, because that's what happens to a lot of the older people, especially when if they've had an important job and they retire, and then all of a sudden they seem as though they lose their way because they don't have they've been used to being labeled by their job and they don't have that purpose anymore.
You know, it is so true, Anne. It is a period, you know, people often go into mourning for their old job. I mean, it's almost like a grief of a certain sort. You lose your identity of who you've been. You've always been someone perhaps who has achieved, and people come to you for advice and counsel. And this is a period where it's a little shaky. The ground below us isn't so firm. We're not, as I had sort of mentioned earlier, you don't feel relevant anymore. You don't feel needed. And it sounds like a weakness, but in fact, it's really just simply human nature. So if there's a way that we can really find what our purpose is and it doesn't have to be one thing. The thing is, this stage of our lives is brilliant because it's like, I look at it kind of like a quilt, a patchwork quilt. You know, you weave all kinds of different things together. You might do three things at the same time. You might do a little of this and a little of that, or you might do one thing for a couple of years and then shift and do something else. It's not like our primary careers that were fairly linear, but this is a time of exploration and there's no right way to do it. There are no ground rules for this stage. So, you know, have a little fun and don't be afraid of failing, because there's no ideal starting place. There's no best time to get started. Just do something, you know, take that first step, make a phone call, raise your hand, go volunteer someplace. That's a key thing too. And, you know, individuals who have stepped away from the workplace, they perhaps want to continue working part-time, seasonally, whatever it might be, or maybe full-blown, they often, you know, sit at home and are sending out resumes perhaps, or just sort of floundering about what should I be doing. And they let themselves, it can be depressing. I mean, if you've lost a job from a downsizing, particularly you start questioning your abilities, get out of your head and get into the world. So go out and volunteer for an organization whose cause you care about in a skill-based capacity. I'm not talking about stuffing envelopes. You know, go use some of your skills. If you're good at marketing and sales, maybe fundraising. If you're a good project manager, put together events for them. There are all kinds of ways, or organize other volunteers, be a volunteer manager. There are ways you can contribute, but you might, and that's a volunteer basis, so you're not necessarily getting paid. But the fact is that may grow into a job ultimately, or you know what? You're networking. You're meeting new people who may say, hey, you know, this might be a neat opportunity for you over here. So you're engaging in the world, and it's a critical thing to do. And it's sort of, you're helping out an organization, but you know what? You're helping yourself.
Yes, I'm a great believer in volunteering. I was actually at a meeting today for retirees, and we had a speaker representing the Migrant Resource Center in our town. And she was a migrant from Indonesia, and she started off as a volunteer because she couldn't find work in Australia. So she volunteered, but it's turned into a job for her. So what you say definitely does work. I see you've written about jobs that ride the age wave. Can you tell us about that, and what are your favorites and why?
Well, here's the thing, Anne. I know that one of the big workplace trends globally is we have this aging population, right? And the jobs that are being created, and I particularly, you know, moving forward, there are so many jobs being created to cater to this aging population, to bring services to them. And so I think of these as jobs to ride the age wave. It's jobs that people in their 50s and 60s can do for those in their 70s, 80s, and beyond. here are some of the possibilities. And there, I'm telling you, there are new ones being created all the time, ones we never even thought about. But some of my favorite ones right now would be senior fitness trainer. I mean, my mom is 88 years old, and she's got someone come in once a week and do some exercises with her. And it's not heavy duty lifting and that sort of thing, but it's a certain form of fitness that seniors need. And having someone who specializes in this kind of workout is really in demand. And there's all kinds of ways to market your services, hanging out your own shingle or working through a fitness center. Senior massage therapist. So again, some of these you have to go back and get credentials for. You don't just become one of these, but it's, again, I'll use my dear mom as an example. She has a massage person that comes once a week as well. And for her, it's the human touch. I mean, at this age, my dad's been gone 9-10 years now, and having that human touch, it makes her happy. It makes her a sense of well-being. And also it's good for her body and her circulation. So there's a huge demand, kind of swelling demand, I should say, for a senior massage therapist. Home modification pro. A lot of people want to age in place because it's very expensive, at least in the U.S., to go to some of these assisted living communities. If you can have your home retrofitted so that it's safe. And a home modification pro is someone who can come into your home and kind of analyze it. Like, how can we change the handles on these doors? Can we lower these things? Can we put bars here? All kinds of ways that will keep you safe. And you don't have to be a contractor, construction to do this. You can be an interior designer. You can, there's lots of ways to sort of work with a team that can actually do the work. You know, someone who specializes in downsizing, helping people, you know, downsize their living situation. And, you know, what can we give to charity? What do the kids want? How do we, you know, move? Because we are moving to smaller places if we do choose not to age in place. Those are a couple of them. There's someone who, you know, people who can help seniors with their finances, personal finance, an assistant, personal assistant is always nice. And of course, there's some of these standard ones that we know of, you know, being a caregiver. These are difficult jobs. Not all of these jobs are easy on the body. So that's one that's highly in demand, but can be very physical at times. Being a driver, you know, if you can drive seniors to different places, to their appointments. Patient advocate. We all need somebody who can help us sort of sort through the, you know, different doctors and take us to appointments and take notes for us if your children aren't around to help you with these kind of things. So again, I could just rattle on because there's all kinds of ones. One sort of quirky one is I met this gentleman recently. He had a big job in the government. And when he retired, he loved to tinker. Like he loved to take things apart, you know, radios and put them back together when he was a kid. Now he repairs wheelchairs and gurneys for individuals and local health centers. He loves it because he's tinkering, but it's, again, a job that's catering to an aging population.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's some really terrific suggestions in there. And I know, well, my mum's 88 too, so we have something in common. And she has some caregivers that come in and they'd go and they do cleaning, but they also do some personal shopping for her. They'll go to the supermarket and get some groceries for her. So, yes, caregiving does seem to be a growing industry. So what are some of the biggest job hunting mistakes that we make, especially as we're older?
Oh, you know, gosh. And some of the biggest are, I would say, you know, getting stuck in a moment. I think a lot of folks in this age group, they look to replicate their old job when they're job hunting. And in fact, that you're not going to do that. It's really, really difficult. The jobs are changing so quickly and a skill set is obsolete very quickly these days. So you absolutely can't, you know, you have to broaden your mind and open up to where, how you can redeploy your current skills and the skills you're adding now into a new direction, or how you can market yourself to a future employer. And the point is, you're not looking for what you had before. You're looking at how you can sell your skills that you've developed over all these years, but also, you know, keep them fresh. But you need to make the case to employer, it's not about you. It's never been about you. It's about how you can solve the employer's problem today, how you can meet their challenge for them. They want you to come in as a sort of a wise consultant who can really make a change and help them. So you have to shift your focus to I need a job to they need me. So you need to figure out how you can fill their needs. And so it's this point of getting stuck in a moment. That's the number one thing. Number two is you probably haven't looked at your resume, haven't had to do a resume in 2 or 3 decades. And my goodness, nobody wants to see 4 pages of your experience. I mean, this is not an obituary. It's an advertisement. So you absolutely need to get it down to no more than 2 pages. And you need to tell your story. You need to tell a narrative. You can't imagine that someone's going to look at your resume and say, oh, this was their job description. This was their title. You know, no, you need to say, in this job, I, you know, brought in a project 3 months ahead of time, or I raised revenues, you know, by this much. You need to tell, career experts call these CAR stories, challenge, action, result. So you need to show what the challenge was, what your action was, and what the result was, and how you made that difference. That's critical. So really taking a sharp eye to your resume and making it active, verbs, keep it, you know, keep it popping. Having a LinkedIn profile, a lot of that, again, when we say that employers are concerned that you're not up to speed with technology. In today's world, you need a digital footprint. You need to have a LinkedIn profile, and you need to probably have some other sort of social media. They're going to do their due diligence on you as much as you do on them. So it could be a Facebook page, Twitter, you know, whatever it is that sort of gets you involved. And you have to be very careful about your social media brand, so to speak. You know, you have to be very careful because they're often looking to see, are you going to fit in with their company? That's another, you might not get a job because it's not your skill set. It's that they don't think you're going to fit in, that you're not going to be a good fit for their organization. So you really need to, you know, they want to look at your social media areas and their research on you by Googling you and say, hey, you know, this person looks kind of interesting. So you do want to share your interests and some of your hobbies. LinkedIn gives you an opportunity to do that. LinkedIn also lets you show what you're doing in a volunteer aspect. That's critical. Employers love to make a connection on, you know, they value that experience, and you can write that up in business speak. It doesn't have to be, you know, you can describe what you did at that volunteer opportunity in a business skilled ways, like we talked about, project manager, fundraiser, what have you, could be sales and marketing. So the ways to shift that language, I think people kind of need to get over themselves a little bit. We have this ego. You kind of have to check your ego at the door a little bit. Yes, you know, you've moved up into an organization in the past, you've been successful, but people get caught up on what the title of the job is. For gosh sakes, titles are not important at this stage in your life. I mean, really, it's about, do you love the job? It's not whether you have some executive title in your name. It has nothing to do with the job itself. So don't get caught up in those sort of things. And again, Anne, I think what we talked about earlier is, you know, getting out of the house and doing something. I really can't stress that enough, the importance of getting out and networking, because often we're kind of too cool for school. Like, we don't want to act like we're needy, that we're really looking for something, that we don't, you know, that we're kind of adrift. And so you need to reach out to everybody. That's a real bonus of being this age, is we know a lot of people. We've worked with a lot of people. I mean, reach out to your network and say, you know, hey, I'm looking for something. Do you know of anything? Or do you know somebody I could talk to? You're not asking for a job. You're asking them, you know, maybe for some advice, asking them to maybe look at who you are. Sometimes we don't even recognize what our true skills are because we take them for granted. So you kind of say, you know, what do you think I might be good at doing right now? I mean, that sounds so corny and you feel like you're a little kid again, but don't be afraid to ask these questions. But you never know, when you ask for help, oh my gosh, who wants to ask for help? But when you ask for help, it comes back to you. And a funny, one sort of interesting example of networking is, I know a guy here who was downsized from his job at, and his, he was like 60, 58, between 58 and 60, I think. Big job that he had, downsized, decided he wanted to teach English as a second language. And he could not find a job. He got the certification for it, everything, couldn't find a job. His son was home for dinner and had his friend. And the friend said to this gentleman, oh, so what are you doing these days? And he said, well, frankly, I'm looking for a job doing this. And the kid said, well, why don't you talk to my mother? And you know what? In a couple of weeks, he had a job. No, it doesn't always happen that easily. But you have to network in unexpected places because you just never know. And don't be afraid to show your vulnerability.
Right. Okay. Well, that it is a lovely story. And I really enjoyed hearing that. Thank you. And I know that as we get older, the people that are the bosses seem to be getting younger. And is that something that's easy to do? Have you got any tips about working with a younger boss?
You know, it is increasingly common, as we talked about these multi-generational workplaces, because as workers stay on the job longer, we're working beyond traditional retirement age because of, you know, often because of this longevity bonus, people are staying, you know, on the job longer. And also, you know, many of the jobs today are not as physically demanding as they were in generations before ours. So we can stay on the job longer, you know, if you're working in a job that doesn't have as many physical demands. So you often get, and increasingly we're seeing the younger population coming into the jobs. And again, there are not as many young people coming in as there are old. So there's sort of this shift in the workplace. Here's what you need to do. I find that without question, there is this moment where you go, oh my gosh, do I really have to be taking directions from somebody who's my child's age? You know, and I say, okay, take a breather, step away. This person is in that job for a reason. Somebody felt that they had the qualifications for it, and they probably do. You need to show them respect. It's a two-way street. They need to respect you, but you need to respect them. So first of all, that's the number one thing. It's your own. You have to take control of this. Number two, I find some of the resentment comes from a communication problem. And true story, I got an editor who's much younger than me. And I was, you know, sending her emails. I was leaving her phone messages. She was not responding to me. And I was furious. I mean, I was like, whoa, who does she think she is? Why isn't she responding to me? And all those things that we think about. And then I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to text her. I'm going to text her. And I texted her, and she responded within minutes. And I'm not making that up. It was just, I never had that conversation with her. Is how do you prefer me to communicate with you? Because for me, emailing or picking up the phone are the way to do it. For her, she barely even noticed those things. So she read them, she saw them, but she didn't feel the need to tell me that she had. So we got it straightened out. Everything's fine now. But there was that moment of real resentment on my part and probably frustration on her part. So the third thing is, you know, this is another sort of soul searching moment is, do you really want that job at this stage in your life? Do you really want to be the manager? Do you want to have all that responsibility? Maybe this is a time that it's quite fine to step back and let somebody else take over some of those duties that you once had and just focus on doing the work that you absolutely love to do. And, you know, that can happen. And it's a matter of just really, you know, focusing on what is it that's going to make turn you on right now. And don't blame the younger person for it. And find ways to make them shine, because that's going to make your working relationship great, because it's all about making your boss look good. So if you can show how your talents or the new skills that you've been adding make you, I mean, they're often frustrated that you're stuck too, that you're, you know, stuck in your ways, and you're going to try to tell them how it's always been done. No, show them that you're current, that you know what the new demands are, the new skills for your industry are. You're up to speed with the industry. Maybe you're involved in an industry organization in a senior level that they know that you're very respected, but you're carrying the torch for the company and you're representing them as well.
Okay. Well, it's been a lot of great advice. Thank you very much. Do you have any summary you'd like to give us about empowering ourselves to have a look at what we might be able to do going forward?
Well, you know, Anne, absolutely. My favorite thing is, you know, this is a time where you've got to believe in yourself. Don't think of this period in your life as retiring, but, you know, refiring. This is your time to do something that you absolutely, maybe you've shelved it. You know, maybe it's a childhood passion. A lot of people go back to doing things they really truly loved as a kid. So think about what are the things that, that you haven't been able to do as you progressed in your primary career and did these big ticket things and achievements. Think about, let's go back. What might really resonate with you and make this chapter of your life really important? And it's often, you know, it often is, you know, making a difference in the world. So think about what matters to you, what causes are important to you. How can you lend a hand with your talents? So, you know, take that time to review your skill sets, you know, give yourself some swagger and pat yourself on the back and reach out to your network. Because one of my favorite things to think about is networking is just one letter away from not working. So clearly you need to get out there and talk to people and get some ideas. Use this, you know, really get excited about this chapter of your life.
Thank you. That was really funny. I hadn't heard it before. Can you just say it again?
Networking is just one letter away from not working.
Okay. Thank you. And how do people find out more about you and about your books? What's the best way?
Oh, thank you, Anne. The best thing is to go to my website, which is kerryhannon.com, KerryHannon.com. If they're on Twitter, they can follow me at @KerryHannon. But I'd love to hear from folks. I love hearing people's career stories, their challenges, their successes. So by all means, you know, check out my website and all my books are on there. And they're also on you know, all booksellers around the world and Amazon and all those other good places. But my website is the best place to get started.
Thank you. But thank you very much for sharing.
Well, thank you, Anne. I so appreciate being and spending some time with you.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.